American people set our nation in a new direction by electing new Democratic majority in Congress committed to real change. I'm very proud of the Democrats in Congress. Working with Majority Leader Harry Reid in the Senate, here are some of our accomplishments. After years of inaction by Republicans, in our very first act, we passed the 9/11 Commission recommendation to protect the American people.
Radio Free V-Dot.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Coming at you once again with another pirate transmission from deep within the American Redoubt in the Free Zone. I am John Jacob Schmidt. Welcome to episode 14-30. Last couple of weeks, we played the intro from The Hunger Games, The Mockingjay, which is going to be coming out here real soon. And that is about the resistance against tyranny and the oppression from the Capitol. Out of District 13, and so I know a lot of you guys have been following those in the books, the movies. Great story, and so we're looking forward to that. But anyway, I just thought that it was appropriate that we are sending messages out to offer hope and to help coordinate, unify our efforts, and also to speak truth and speak against this anti-American agenda that we are forced to confront. So welcome, Patriots, for tuning in. It's great to have you with us once again. And everyone outside the wire in occupied territory, you are in our thoughts and prayers. We're here to inform you and inspire you and encourage you and to unify all of us in the effort to stand against tyranny. I want to welcome all of the new listeners, and also I wanted to remind you that you can get up to date. We update that several times a day over at facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt. And so thank you guys for your support. Thank you for your questions and support and your letters of encouragement and sharing your testimonies. We're going to start doing that. We're going to start doing a little segment each week sharing the testimonies that I get to hear from you guys. That's really good stuff. Hopefully you are able to enjoy the Northern Nevada Prepper Net. This week they were talking about personal first aid kits for the prepper. And speaking of communications nets, right after the show tonight, we'll be visited by Delta 04, giving her post-net report from the Tappern Nets that take place regionally on the East Coast. And she always does a great job with those, so we look forward to seeing that. You can go to amron.com to listen to Delta 04's post-net reports. And you can go to NNPG, that's NovemberPapaGolf.net, and listen to the archives from the Northern Nevada Preppers Network. They do an outstanding job over there as well. Well, there's several things we want to get to and cover, so we'll get right into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. And, hey, the book 9, 299 Days, book 9, titled The Restoration, is coming out. We just saw on 299 Days Facebook posting. It's The Restoration, when the Patriots finally launched their strike against the Loyalists. Grant Matson, the story's hero, his leadership, bravery, and training are put to the ultimate test. The 17th Irregulars are teamed up with regular... What? That's all there is? Oh, teaser. Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to have to go check that out. You guys go check that over there at 299days.com. And also, we will not have a Fox 519 report tonight because we got a head-on collision with another ripping storm that came through last night. And codename Fox 519, normally bringing us the eye on the economy. He is without power. He's on generator power. So, hey, if he's got a generator, why is he taking the day off? I mean, you already got one storm last week, and now you're claiming two storms. You only get one storm. So he used it up. And he's got a generator, so there's no reason why he can't produce an eye on the economy because his internet still works. Oh, wait, he has to use his phone as a hotspot. That's right. Anyway, hopefully, if he has any news and updates, we'll post that to the Fox 519 page over at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. You guys heard me cover last week the story about the Boy Scouts, where they were crossing from Canada into Alaska on a big grand journey, a big adventure, and they got held up at the border, held at gunpoint, because one of the boys took a picture of a federal agent. And so they drew down on him, they took the boy's camera, they threatened him with a $10,000 fine, 10 years in prison. Well, there's a little bit of a follow-up. The Boy Scout leader, the adult, one of the adults, because there wasn't any adults working for the Border Patrol that day, apparently, he did an exclusive interview over at benswan.com, and he asked Mr. Fox, did you feel at that moment that you still lived in America? And he said, no, I didn't, and neither did the boys. That's a sad day. While they're letting MS-13 gangbangers go at the southern border, these guys are holding up Boy Scouts. Well, they said that they've also experienced this type of intimidation before with the TSA in Orlando, Florida. In Orlando, one of the Eagle Scouts accidentally dropped his boots after going through a full search. And one of the officers said that if that boy doesn't calm down, I'll arrest him and remove him from this airport. And so then the Boy Scout leader, Fox, asked the officer, what did the boy do? And he said his response was, he dropped his boots in a threatening manner. See, this is just power going to some people's heads. And the people that work at TSA, I swear they do the recruiting at Walmart. This is really a bad situation that we're in our country, where these kind of people have that much power with no accountability. That's tyranny. But at the border situation going into Alaska, according to this interview, this follow-up interview, during the search, while all this is going on, and all the kids are scared to death, and the guy had already pulled a gun, they're all sitting in the van wondering what's going to happen. And one of the Border Patrol agents turns to the Boy Scout leader and says, I suppose you're wondering why we're doing this. While he was pointing at the teenage boy, the agent told Fox, it's our job to protect this border. It's our job to keep terrorists from crossing the border. See, I knew it. I knew it because remember last week I said it's ISIS and Al-Qaeda sneaking into our border, across our borders into Alaska, and they're disguised as Boy Scouts. So good job, Border Patrol. Way to go. You are our heroes. Now, there is one senator involved, Chuck Grassley. He says it's outrageous that a Border Patrol agent would point a gun at a Boy Scout just for taking a picture. And he told the television station, he says it just doesn't make sense. Well, of course it doesn't make sense. So what are you doing about it, Senator? We want to hear an action plan. What measures are you taking to make sure these people, not just that it doesn't ever happen again, need to track this down to this incident, and there needs to be consequences. They need to be held accountable for this incident. So we want to know what you're doing, Senator. We're glad that you just don't think this makes sense. That's a great start. Oh, what else? Let's see. Department of Homeland Security confiscating Range Rovers. Yes. Statesville, North Carolina. Homeland Security rolls up to these people's house. They check VIN numbers on this vehicle. This lady put $60,000 into this rare what is it? It's the Commander, I think. Or is that what it's called? Darn, I can't. Anyway, they come and they said, oh, we got to take this. We have to take this vehicle because of the VIN number, you know, we think it's been changed. And they had a list of VIN numbers. So they're going around Department of Homeland Security. And I question this. If this was a VIN switching thing, wouldn't that be the purview of the FBI do an investigation on, you know, VIN number swaps and things? Well, apparently, well, the response that I got was, well, because Homeland Security is now in charge of, you know, customs enforcement, and these were imported, very rare vehicles. And so then they must have emptied the office out because they had just a whole platoon of DHS agents show up for confiscating this Range Rover. Isn't that something? It's going after the wealthy, productive people to take a Range Rover. If that's not a misallocation of resources, when they say we don't have the resources on the border, that's because you're running around the country looking for Range Rovers. And it makes me wonder, what are they going to do? They impound the vehicle. Oh, and then they give her like 31 days to protest the seizure, but they won't tell her where the vehicle is so she can go over the vehicle herself and inspect all the VIN numbers because she bought it online and she thought that she legally owned it and everything. So it sounds like she was the victim of VIN number swap type of scam, possibly. But what are they going to do with it? It makes me wonder what the government's, they're going to use them for their, you know, drug task forces or, you know, whatever. You know they're going to use it. It's not just going to sit there and rot. Oh, maybe they'll just destroy it. They'll just destroy a $120,000 rare Range Rover. That wouldn't surprise me. Maybe they'll give them to the coyotes on the next Fast and Furious sting operation. They'll give all these Range Rovers to the MS-13. So they can bring drugs and guns across the border so they can, you know, get away. Wow. You guys heard about the drought in California? They are talking about possibly having to migrate communities. I talked about this a few months ago. We got some great resources down in that area that put out regular reports in Nevada and California on the drought situation. We haven't heard anything for a little while, but this is starting to rear its head and it's making news in the mainstream news outlets. They're talking 58% of the state is currently in exceptional drought stage. And of course, that's the absolute worst level to the point where you should see this map. Wow. It is almost the whole state of California. Mostly all of Central California. But they're talking about how many billions of dollars it costs. And what they're doing, this is really interesting. They started implementing fines, steep fines, up to $500 for catching somebody watering their lawn or washing their car. But they admit that they're not sure that conservation really will work because it's agriculture that uses at least 75% of the water. It's agriculture. While the cities and the suburbs use about 20% of the state's water. Hey, that's 95%. I guess maybe 5% evaporation. Maybe they need to start finding God. God doesn't exist. See, they're in a quandary here. They can't find God because they're trying to convince everyone that he doesn't exist. So they're going to have to charge us. It'll be a carbon footprint tax, something. They got to make up their money somehow. But it's interesting because I've talked to some redoubters who recently moved into the American Redoubt from California. And they've told me there are places for miles where they used to drive and it was fields, rolling fields and vineyards and orchards that are now dust. They went in there and leveled them because they couldn't afford the rising water costs. When they could get water, they couldn't even afford it. It was surpassing their, it's a business. You're in it for profit and they can no longer water crops. So the breadbasket of the world, California, which, you know, is known for exporting fruit, vegetables, nuts, they still have a lot of fruit and nuts there, but it's all in the cities now. Oh, it's back to the border. Speaking of the border, this is from the blackroberegiment.com, which I strongly recommend, especially for our clergy to start following that, get your nose in there. And Thank you for those of you who are already doing that. But check this out. Children who have entered this country illegally are receiving food, clothing, and shelter as they await their court cases, and now add reproductive health and gender identity to the list. Yes, from a $350 million grant from Human Life International, from the Department of Health and Human Services, they are getting this grant to help these poor illegals. But one of the stipulations for the grant is that they have to, well, let me read this. An HHS spokesman told CNS News that a political appointee would answer those questions about the news website, but the news website stated it never got an answer. And what they're talking about is one of the requirements to get the grant was to ask the children about their sexual orientation and their gender identity. Promoting abortion and homosexuality is a requirement of the federal grant, and Phelan said that that would prevent Catholic organizations such as HLI from working with the children. What a sneaky way to keep Christian influences away from those children. Meanwhile, do you feel like, you know, Jose, do you feel like a girl? Because we have special help for you. It's just, wow. It's amazing. Because of those requirements, Phelan said the HLI sees nothing positive in the HHS grant funds that are supposed to help illegal alien children in the midst of a dire situation. So, and he makes a good point when he says, just to raise these issues right in the middle of it, it shows you just what kind of administration this is and what they're really about. Amazing times that we're living in, isn't it? So it's creeping gradualism. It's not even creeping anymore. It's like a locomotive, this agenda that flies in the face of everything that we as Judeo-Christian American patriots stand for. So there's a war. There's a social war going on. And prepare for it. Anyway, let's take a break. Without Fox 590, it's not going to be the same. It won't be the same. But anyway, we'll plow through it. All right. Okay, guys. And back in just a minute, I got a couple more stories for you. And then we're going to get on to some other things. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to the voice of the American Redoubt.
The budget should be balanced. The treasury should be refilled. Public debt should be reduced. The arrogance of officialdom should be tempered and controlled. And the assistance to foreign lands should be curtailed, lest the nation become bankrupt. People must again learn to work instead of living on public assistance. What a new and revolutionary idea. Can you guess who proposed this change in policy? If you were thinking Ronald Reagan, guess again. Abraham Lincoln? Keep going. Thomas Paine? Nope. Go back about 18 centuries. It was author and philosopher Marcus Tullius Cicero, referring to Rome about 50 years or so before Christ was born. Yeah, I know. That's how I felt. Will we ever learn? I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Back with segment two, and this is Radio Free Redoubt, and you're listening to episode 14-30. Thanks to all of our brand new listeners. Thanks for being out there. Hope you stay with us. Great to have you with us. And as we say, my name is John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot concerned about the direction that your country's headed, well, then my name is your name too. This segment is sponsored by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Speaking of people relocating, strategically getting out of occupied territory, joining the ranks of other patriots that are strategically moving to enclaves, to redoubts, safe havens, refuges, and fallback positions that we call redoubts. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate provides outstanding real estate services in specializing in the North Idaho Panhandle. As so many of you know, that is right in the heart of the American Redoubt. Go to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com to find out how they can help you find the property that's right for you and your family. Okay, this is an article that came out this week. I've got a few of you guys sent this to me from WXYZ.com. Very creative. In Armada, Michigan, the FBI and Armada police stopped every vehicle attempting to enter or leave the town of Armada between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. on this last Thursday night. Agents and officers marked an X on the hands of everyone they spoke to, and a long line of cars and squad cars blocking the road in a checkpoint of sorts could be seen Thursday afternoon. The move came as family and friends gathered to mourn the loss of a 14-year-old April Millsap at her visitation. The teen was found murdered in a wooded area on July 24th. So this was a week later, and they were holding funeral services for this young girl. And right about that time, the FBI and Armada police, including surrounding city police from surrounding towns, came swooping in, cordoned off the town. Well, actually, no, they didn't cordon off the town. Apparently, I've watched several videos on this, different news reports. There are several ways into this town, but they concentrated on the main drag that's coming into town. They stopped every vehicle. Now, they didn't search the vehicles. They stopped the vehicles. And they said the reason why is because they just wanted to ask the people if they had seen anything related to this girl. Did you see this girl walking? Did you see her talking to anyone? So isn't this interesting that they'd all come swooping in right about the time I went out to breakfast with my father, and we were sitting there talking about this case. And I'll tell you exactly what happened, especially since the FBI is involved. Their intelligence indicated that this person, that whoever killed her, there was an extremely high probability that this individual was returning for the funeral service to Gawk. It's not uncommon for a perpetrator to return to a crime scene to watch, the results and watch the reactions of people and everything else. Right about that time, a helicopter came swooping in really low over the walking trail that this girl was found dead on. And they were obviously searching along that trail, possibly looking for a perpetrator to return back to the murder scene. But they were really focused on two things. One, the funeral service, and then these people coming back into town. The reason why I'm covering this is because it's raised a lot of concern from people that are concerned about liberty and the breach of our liberty. Now, legally, it is unconstitutional to stop someone without probable cause and to prevent somebody from freely moving about. And so this is one of those skirting the edges, because they weren't really searching. They were just stopping them. Hey, have you seen anything? Do you know anything? But then they were marking everyone, and they were writing down license plate numbers. So now this is what I suspect happened. And of course, this is just conjecture on my part, and also part of my background that I've been involved in the past. See, they have cell phone tracking capabilities now. This girl had a cell phone. In fact, one of the last things that she put out to her boyfriend was, "I feel like I'm being kidnapped." And then next thing you know, she disappears, and then they find her dead. But if any other person was traveling on foot or in a vehicle in her vicinity, their cell phone's going to ping the towers. And that's why you can use your cell phones for GPS locating, right? So what they have is a search where they can look at all the other cell phones that were in the vicinity of that cell phone and put at least one other person in a very close proximity to her. And now, why would they do a blanket search then? That tells you that they didn't know exactly who they were looking for, which I would I would propose that the person probably had either a phone that did not was not registered to them, or they had a burner phone, you know, like a track phone or something like that. So they have possibly a phone. For them to scramble like that and take down a whole area, they were working on some kind of intelligence, some actionable intelligence. And but that also tells me that they didn't know exactly who it was they were looking for. And they're looking for reactions. They're looking for the person that does a quick U-turn to avoid the checkpoint. Or they're looking for the person that looks extremely nervous as they're going through the checkpoint. There was a raid, apparently. They went into a home, searched the home, and that was related to this case. But they ended up making a couple of arrests, but they were unrelated. Apparently, somebody had some marijuana, and when they did this search that was related to this case, they ended up, you got some pot there. Okay, you're under arrest. And then they're not even related to this case at all, which is another really interesting thing. And I don't know how they got into the house originally, whether they had a warrant, if it was justifiable, what they were going on. There's still more information that's coming out of this whole thing. But see, the discussion came when my dad and I were discussing this. This is obviously an illegal, unconstitutional roadblock, checkpoint. To check every vehicle, document everybody that's coming through. Now, I understand if you are operating on intelligence and you've got a murderer that you strongly suspect is on their way back in, you're looking at the intel like, look, here's the cell phone and we're pinging it right now and it's on its way to this little town. Well, you want to snatch the person up. But here's the problem. If you start making exceptions, then you end up where we are today in America, where our Constitution has completely been eroded. And I'm not saying that the people, the FBI agents or the police officers, had bad intentions, but there are bad intentioned people out there that will exploit openings in the Constitution. And now I know if it were me and I was the head investigator, I could block off that place. I could interview everybody coming through, and that would be the last that they would see of me, because I'm not a tyrant. I understand my motives and my heart, and I understand the value of liberty, but I also understand the value of trying to track down a criminal murderer that's coming back to a crime scene. So me, I'd want to get the guy. I'd want to get the bad guy. But we can't count on making exceptions for violating the Constitution, because it will be abused. And basically that's where we are now. Now we have people that are being jacked up at checkpoints 60 to 100 miles inside U.S. territory. And if you ask them, why am I being stopped? Am I being detained? Why are you holding me? I haven't done anything wrong. They just now anymore, they just bust your windows and they tase you and then yank you out. And there's no accountability. And so this is where this creeping gradualism has gone. So I've actually had a few people ask me, what's your take on this FBI thing? I understand why they did it. And I'm not saying I wouldn't want to do the same thing if I were in their shoes. But you know what? We have to protect the Constitution, the restraints that the Constitution puts on government. And there's a reason for that. And I think that the consequences of ignoring the Constitution whenever you can justify it will end up much worse than the few cases of a real bad guy getting away for a while. So that's where I stand on that. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay, let's see here. Oh, there was another one. You guys remember a couple weeks ago when this local news in Spokane, Washington did just a story just ripping on Matt Shea, Representative Matt Shea, Patriot. Well, several of you, thank you, by the way, several of us came to his defense and wrote articles rebuking the editor and, you know, the news station for running this news article. Most of you guys are up to speed on this. But for those of you who aren't, you can go back, you can look that article up, and they basically equated Representative Matt Shea with, you know, extremist views and everything because they interviewed his opponent. So many, many of you have sent letters expressing your concern to this news agency, News 4, KXLY News 4. And they, and of course, several of you sent their responses back to me, and every one of them are exactly the same. It's a canned response. And this is what it says. And this is coming from the executive news director, Jerry Post. He says, "Thanks for contacting us with your concerns. We stand by our story." Huh. "If an elected official's name shows up in a criminal investigation, we believe it's our duty to report it as news. We also made it very clear that Representative Shea was not charged with any crime." Oh yeah, you did slip that in there, didn't you? "We have given Mr. Shea multiple invitations to respond to this story and others, in which he's taken a very public stance, including his involvement at the Nevada Ranch standoff in April." Love how they worded that. "Thus far, he has not responded, but the invitation stands. Again, I appreciate your sharing your views with us, and we look forward to hearing from Representative Shea." Jerry Post, executive news director. Okay, so this was sent to me by several people. So the letter that was sent by a listener says, "I am deeply disappointed with your recent story on Matt Shea. I demand you repudiate this slanderous, politically charged story and return to the standards of journalistic integrity." Well said. "Regards," and then their name. And that was the letter that was sent to this executive producer, news director. So since I received several responses from many of you, which all said the exact same thing, the responses from this news editor, I wrote him a letter as well, and I have not heard anything back. But this is what I wrote to him. My letter to executive news director Jerry Post. "You stand by your story? Good. Then there's no guesswork involved. Your unremorseful Saul Alinsky-style attack on a true statesman shows exactly which side you're on. Of course, Representative Shea would not respond to your, quote, invitation to follow up with your story. Don't we tell children not to comply when a stranger invites them to get into their van? Would anyone accept an invitation to walk into an ambush? You wrote, 'If an elected official's name shows up in a criminal investigation, we believe it's our duty to report it as news,' close quote. So, is quoting Matt Shea's political opponent's opinion of Matt Shea also part of your investigative news reporting? You're not reporting news, you're creating news, and you know it. Did you investigate to see if the woman who reported the false allegations was tied in any way to Aretola's election campaign?" And that is Matt Shea's opponent, by the way. "To level the field, you could have, should have stated that the report is inconsistent with what we know of Matt Shea. For example, he is actually a decorated veteran who fought against terrorists and extremists overseas. He joined other legislators in standing against federal agents that were in violation of federal law during the Bundy Ranch incident. But you didn't mention those things. You didn't mention that Representative Shea is extremely popular with his constituents and draws crowds and applause wherever and whenever he speaks. I've witnessed this over and over, so it's not opinion, it's fact. You also didn't mention that those who are opposed to him in the Republican Party are also strongly politically left-leaning, including Shea's opponent that you hunted down for an opinion. You failed to mention that he spearheaded a coalition of legislators and other leaders to ensure the federal government doesn't illegally encroach on the state lands and to enforce and to force them to follow the rule of law and due process. You know exactly what your so-called news agency did with this story, and it was anything but objective. It was propaganda, and we all know it too. Good day, John Jacob." I didn't hear anything back from him. I don't expect to hear anything back from him. But I want to thank you guys all for stepping up. And also, for those of you in Eastern Washington, remember, the primary elections are this Tuesday for Washington. Representative Matt Shea is standing very strong on the polls. Most of the people see right through who his opponent really is, and they appreciate what Representative Matt Shea has done in the fight for freedom, because the constituents in that Spokane Valley voter district are very conservative, and so they're going to put him back in. There's an article that was just sent to me called Punishing the Bullies. This came out in the Coeur d'Alene Press over in Idaho. School board members in Coeur d'Alene want Idaho lawmakers to consider adding some fresh teeth to the state's anti-bullying laws. Now, one individual on this school board, her name is Wendy, and she's been involved in the human rights push. Ding, ding, ding. Alarms. Alert. The human rights movement. And now she's wormed her way into this Coeur d'Alene school district school board as a school board member. So now they're trying to develop this plan to punish the bullies. Idaho's criminal statute prohibiting such behavior currently provides a purely punitive penalty. An offender may be found guilty of an infraction. Well, yeah. That is the only remedy, so you pay a fine and you move on, said Coeur d'Alene School Board Chair Krista Hazel. Okay, they're concerned that all they have to do is get a fine and they have to pay and then they move on. So they're saying it comes with a $72 fine for bullying, similar to a ticket for a driving offense. Well, they're saying that's not enough. So what we need to do is criminalize bullying. The resolution proposes that ISBA work with the Idaho legislature to develop a tiered criminal sanction approach that provides more discretion for our judicial system in order to more effectively address criminal student bullying and harassment behavior in the school setting. Now, if you're thinking about the mean kid that, you know, knocks your tray of food onto the floor and laughs at you and points and whatever, they're talking about what they're really focusing on is the cyber bullying. Now, they say that their goal is not to put more kids in jail or to criminalize them or penalize them. What they're thinking is hopefully this will get the parents involved, but they're talking teeth. They're saying, she says that we're not in there to trail them, nail them, and jail them by any means. Oh, this is not she. This is he, Detective Steve Harris, a longtime SRO, now stationed at Canfield Middle School in Coeur d'Alene. He says he wants to protect the students through education, awareness, and relationship building. Well, that has nothing to do with criminalizing bullying. 99% of the time that works. If I actually write that infraction, it's just to pay a ticket and go. There's no diversion and no counseling. Well, you're not talking about diverting them or counseling them. They're pushing for legislation to criminalize this, to criminalize bullying further. They'll make it a felony one day. Watch. Anyway, they're hoping that they can catch the kids by 18. There's a reason why I'm covering this story. Because you people that have your children in public schools, I know it's tough. I know it's hard to homeschool and it's not for everyone. But and I also know that private Christian schools are not cheap. You have to pay taxes, plus you have to pay the tuition for a private Christian school. But you know what? There is so much on the line. I was just listening to the issues in education. They're talking about, 15% now of the millennium generation are Christians. The atheism agenda is growing rapidly. And they're doing it through the indoctrination facilities called public schools. If there's any way possible, I don't care if you've got to deliver pizzas to cover the tuition, to get your kids into a Christian school, get them out of that public school environment. But anyway, that's a totally separate issue. If the criminal penalty for students bullying was enhanced, officers would apply it only to the most egregious cases. Well, what's an egregious case? What is that? Wendy? She said, we're not talking about just a mean kid. Now, this guy points out to an instance where an increased criminal consequences would be appropriate. The girl who takes a photo of her middle school classmate as she's getting changed in the locker room and then sends it by cell phone to everyone in the school before the class is over. Now, that really happens. The girl is totally humiliated so quickly. Okay, the 2013 Idaho Youth Risk Behavior Survey showed, released by the Idaho State Department of Education, indicates that 24% of high school freshmen, 33% of seniors, report having sent or received nude images of themselves or someone else by email or text at least once in the past year. Last year, 24% of high school children reported having been bullied on school grounds at least once during the last 12 months. The youngest children in Idaho's high schools report being targeted by bullies most often, 39% of the ninth grade girls and 32% of the boys. So what they're doing is they're saying that we have to do, and what they're doing is they're using for, okay, let me tell you something. They already have a law on the book, on the books. First of all, if you hit somebody, there's battery. You already got a, you've got charges right there. Use it. Okay, taking the cell phone picture, distributing it through the whole school. Guess what? Child pornography. You nail these people to the wall for child pornography. Every kid that goes through and takes a picture, as soon as it becomes known, comes to light, you get a hold of their cell phone, you confiscate it as child pornography, and you can do a full investigation to find out who all they sent it to. You go to that person. That person, if you discover they've distributed it also to their friends, you nail them for child pornography. And you go to everyone they texted it to. If that person redistributed it, child pornography. This is not bullying, but see, really, this is not about bullying. This is setting the stage for control. This is setting the stage for another agenda, because everywhere the human rights groups show up, where they start off looking out for minorities, looking out for bullies, whatever it takes, that's how they legitimize their existence. Because behind all of this every time is a homosexual agenda. And what they're doing is they're setting this up so that no bullying. They'll use the example, oh, the girl in the locker room got her picture taken and now she's humiliated. That's bullying. We need stronger laws. Okay, you got the kid who punched the other kid in the nose. And so we need stronger bullying laws. Well, you got battery there. There's already laws on the books. Hurting somebody's feelings is not criminal and it shouldn't be criminal. It's wrong. But what this is really is a homosexual agenda. And I noticed in the article, the anti-bullying task force was convened by the school district in March of 2013 in response to parents' complaints that their children were being targeted by bullies in district schools. The renewed efforts included a visit and training from Stephen Wessler, an internationally recognized hate crimes and discrimination expert. So they bring in this expert to indoctrinate the school board on how to proceed. But so I just, out of curiosity, I started looking, well, who is this Stephen Wessler? Well, Stephen Wessler in 2009, CPHV Equality Maine, he's out of Maine, collaborated to provide Maine legislators and citizens with a report honoring all Maine families. Hear what's coming? That summarized the center's interviews with over 80 gay and lesbian partners, their children, and parents across the state about why marriage is important to their families, honoring all Maine families in 2009. In 2005, center began to investigate the extent and impact of anti-LGBT discrimination. By conducting confidential interviews across the state, the center was able to collect disturbing evidence that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender individuals experienced discrimination in employment, public accommodation, you know, like which bathroom you can go into. You see a guy going into a girl's bathroom. Oh, no, get out. Well, hey, I'm transgender. You're going to discriminate against me? You're going to hold public accommodations from me because I think I'm a woman. This is the kind of stuff, this is the kind of stuff that people are having to deal with in communities where they're allowing this type of indoctrination and these type of experts to come into their communities to advise them on how to write and pass laws and ordinances. So what's happening, this is not really about just discrimination against the poor girl who gets a picture taken and it gets distributed. They're using that as the platform to launch from. And what this is, just like all the human rights groups that wiggle their way into these communities, all in the name of protecting a minority, which they don't care one bit about, it always turns into a massive pro-homosexual agenda. And then the truth really comes out. And this is just one of those things that when we see an agenda that goes against the teachings in the Bible, against our Christian values, against our Judeo-Christian heritage, against Americanism, we need to stand against it, no matter what it is. And right now, the big agenda that they're pushing is the pro-homosexual agenda. So watch this in your schools when you start to see these type of experts come. Whenever you see bullying, look deeper. They don't care about a kid being bullied. Kids have been bullied for years. Okay, and now the cyberbullying, there's a way to take care of it, but that's not what they're concerned about. They're not concerned about going after people distributing child pornography because they took a picture of a naked girl in a locker room. And now everybody in the school has it on their cell phone because they keep forwarding it to everybody. That's not what this is about. So beware, be watchful. Those of you who feel like you're forced to have your kids in public schools, all right, just be aware. Okay. There is good news. There's good news. Thursday, August 7th, this coming Thursday at 6 p.m. at the LaBelle V Event Center in Spokane Valley, Chris Ann Hall is going to be speaking on the genealogy of the Constitution. This gal is a pistol. I mean, she is on fire when she speaks, and she knows the Constitution inside and out. Always a treat. And we're definitely going to make sure that we're there to cover that. And so put that on your calendar. Great stuff. And I'm going to see also if we can live stream it. That would be really cool. We'll look into that, look into the possibility of that. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, segment 3 here at the Voice of the American Readout. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Readout at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
Going into segment 3 here at Radio Free Readout, which segment 3 is sponsored by AMP 3, Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project. They sell and distribute and build medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. Check them out over there at stores.amp-3.net, or just click on the AMP3 logo on Radio Free Readout right on through to the other side. And, I forgot to mention too. I'll mention that in the next segment. Never mind. Okay. As you were. All right. Now, a couple things I want to mention real quick. First of all, thank you for all of you who have stepped up to take things to the next level and joined Amron Corps. The Amron Corps is for Amron members that are stepping up and taking an active role within Amron. They're starting nets. They are running as net control operators. They're increasing their skill sets. They're purposeful, and they're stepping up to get actively engaged in the mission of making sure that like-minded patriots and communities and leadership and their groups can stay informed and communicate on the next level of capabilities. And so thank you guys for doing that. Right now, we are in the middle of our charter membership. Actually, it's coming up here, the end of that. Amron Core will help increase your communication skill sets and increase a stronger or create a stronger network. That's what it says on the website. Well, that's what we're striving for. But the charter membership is going to be over with. That window is going to be closing. The charter membership is just $25 a year. If you join anytime between June 15th to August 15th. So that window is coming to a close here on the 15th of August. And, that's $25 a year. And that will be, $25 a year from that point forward. Each year that will be locked in. If you are already serving as a net control station operator, then it's only $15 a year. After August 15th, so starting August 16th, that's going to jump up to $40 a year and $30 a year, which is still a good deal because you are networking, truly networking with other like-minded communications operators and specialists and radio operators that are really committed to the cause of preserving liberty. And it's not just a hobby. They're applying their skills. And they're actively engaged. So great, great group of folks. Now, also, there's going to be some prizes that we're going to be giving away. There's going to be a drawing for the charter members. There will be a drawing on Sunday the 24th, which is the same weekend as the T-Rex readiness exercise. So anyone who joins between June 15th and August 15th, there'll be prizes, there'll be drawings that'll be held for the during that podcast that Sunday evening, which will be mostly a T-Rex debriefing. And we'll be giving away a couple of MFJ dual clocks for your dual local time and Zulu time. Those are really cool clocks. I have one on my shelf. I love it. It's nice and small and compact, and you've got your local time and Zulu time side by side right there. We're going to be giving away a copy of Sparks' book, Grid Down Communications. And that's written by codename Sparks31 over there at Sparks31, the blog, the communications blog. And great book. I have my copy of it. And that was written by a former Special Forces comms guy, 18 Echo type, one each. And it was, it was like 10 or 11 bucks with shipping and everything was $15. And I got my money's worth out of the first two or three sections of it. Great resource. So we're going to be giving one of those away. And then also the grand prize, we're going to be giving away a tech pack in Coyote Brown. Now, if you're not sure what that is, it's a $210 value. It is a radio comms go bag kit specifically designed with the, what was it? The 857, the Yaesu 857D, but it'll fit any similar size ham radio. And it's mil-spec sewing, heavy-duty nylon, heavy-duty YKK zippers, rigid padded backpack, or you can carry it like a briefcase. It's got front-mounted gear pockets, shock-corded antenna loops, interior coax pocket, interior notebook. It's got pen and paper marker pockets, elevated radio platform, antenna tuner platform, a power supply platform. Of course, you know, this is just the bag. This doesn't come with all that stuff. It doesn't come with a tuner and a radio, but I mean, it's just so well organized and so well done. It's an amazing thing. Go check it out over there at Amp 3, but they donated that. And that is going to be given away in this drawing for our Amron Core charter membership drawing, $210 value and just amazing piece of equipment. We're also going to be giving away prizes for T-Rex on the same weekend. For those of you who participate on August 24th, we're going to have a drawing. Now, next Sunday will be half of the show is going to be a T-Rex exercise pre-briefing to give you more details on how to participate, how to enter drawings, how to enter to win, and more details about the exercise. We are going to be, and you know what? We're going to be, we already have several scenarios, micro scenarios, we're going to be injecting into the T-Rex. Now, you're only going to get these news and intelligence reports if you are tuned in to radio communications using Amron, the Amron network. So now there are some people that said, hey, we're going to participate and I'm really excited. And I have a little ham radio, a local ham radio. And then everybody in my group has FRS radios, but they are isolated. They are not going to be communicating. One of the reasons we're having T-Rex is for you to identify shortcomings in your communications plan and your overall preparedness plan. But this is really a large communications exercise. Now, some of you may or may not participate in the communications portion. You're going to be joining hundreds of other Americans across the country who will be implementing their Teotihuacan preparedness plan on their own. And but if you want to participate in the communications network and practice spreading news and information and stuff like that, at the very least, you need to get a shortwave radio with single sideband so that you can hear what's going on in the Amron nets. If you don't have that capability, you're going to be cut off. So I'm telling you that right now, so it'll give you a couple weeks. Even if everybody in your group's got to pitch in, you know, $25 a family or whatever to come up with a $150 radio so that, you know, your group has a Texon 880 or something equivalent, you can be listening to news and intelligence updates that are being passed back and forth. So the main reason why we're doing, why we formed Amron, is to overcome Patriots being isolated and out of the loop for information. But there's going to be a drawing for T-Rex as well. We'll be giving away a Life Straw personal water purification filter that removes like 99.999% of all bacteria, 99.9% of waterborne protozoan parasites. It filters up to 1,000 liters. So we'll be giving one of those away. We'll be giving away a copy of Enola Gay's Preparedness, the Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases. And she has... she actually has a section in there covering exotic diseases, including Ebola. So very timely. And we'll be giving that away. And then, of course, we'll be giving away some Radio Free Readout T-shirts and hats. So we got those coming at you. And so next weekend is going to be the T-Rex pre-briefing. Now, the Amron nets that will be taking place the week, we have nets scheduled for the week before T-Rex, the week of T-Rex, actually. So within 24 to 48 hours before T-Rex kicks off, net control stations and Amron operators will be injecting new intelligence updates into the scenario to prepare you for the scenario. And we'll be talking about all about how to do that and how to communicate news and intelligence that you gather from this during this exercise, so we don't freak anyone out and this doesn't turn into, you know, the War of the Worlds invasion, you know, where people were listening to this radio show and they thought it was real. And so this won't be a War of the Worlds thing. We'll make it very clear that this is a training exercise when we're communicating on the radio. And so I got a couple of funny stories that go along with that. But we're going to talk more about the timeline. We're going to talk about, and the volunteer stations that are acting as destination and initiating stations. We'll be giving you further instructions on that. We'll be actually emailing your instructions and your scenario for T-Rex a week out. And anyway, that's your weekend to implement your plan with your family or your group or your retreat group, your church group, where you can pull the plug, kill the power, and start identifying things that you didn't realize that you have, you know, big holes in your plan for power, for water, for hygiene, all of these things. And plus, you're going to have a chance to test out your communications. Some groups are actually doing medical training. They're actually putting on classes. Some are actually doing security patrols of their whatever it is, their neighborhood, their home, or their property, or their retreat group area. So that to look forward to. I'm going to take a quick break. And then when I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about patriots, what it means to be a patriot. And I'm going to answer some questions from some listeners and viewers from the Summer of Survival Comms Up 2 video that we did. And then we'll wrap everything up. So stay right there and we'll get into segment 4 in just a minute. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is Your Name Too.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership, not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership, and it's going to come from us.
Renegade.
Wrapping it up here with segment 4, which is brought to you by none other than Katie Armor, C-A-T-I, Charlie Alpha Tango, India, katiearmor.com. And they sell frag-coated full body armor, level 3, AR-500 body armor and carriers. Great product, owned and operated by patriots. And check them out. And also, they just put a new coupon code out. With any order that you place, enter the code John Jacob to receive a 10% discount on anything you purchase from Katie Armor. The coupon code John Jacob, and look at you 10% off. Speaking of John Jacob, that's how you can email me, johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Hey, this last Wednesday, I was, again, it's the second time I've been with these guys. Great guys. It's a Christian radio station, KYMS, The Bridge. And that's, 89.9. And they actually play a lot of Christian country music. And I'm not a country music type of guy, although I do appreciate it a lot. I don't like the sappy stuff or the, you know, driving my pickup truck and beer cans type of songs. It's just not really my thing, but these are really some cool, these are some cool people, and they play some good music, and they're super conservative. They're non-501c3. And so they don't want anything holding them back. They get into some political issues. Mike and Lee in the morning, great guys. And we've had a lot of fun the first time. Lee wasn't there, so it was my first time meeting Lee. So what we were supposed to talk about, we didn't even get to. I wasn't even prepared to talk. Well, Lee hadn't met me before. So he's like, no, what's the readout? And what's this? Explain that. And I mentioned it two or three times, patriot. He says, no, hold on a minute. No, when you say patriot, what do you really mean? I mean, you like people who run around in the woods wearing camouflage? And I was, to use the a millennial generation vernacular. And then I was like, huh? So, and then I realized, it occurred to me, this is because of the media, because of news and entertainment in the world. When you say patriot, it occurred to me, some people, what flashes in their mind is people running around in the woods wearing camouflage, which I thought was kind of interesting, but it was, you know, it was a valid question. He just wanted to know, when we say that, what are we thinking of? Of course, you guys all know that. But for our new listeners, just to help bring you up to speed, there's a writing called The SARS Soliloquy. Okay. Soliloquy. This says the true patriotism, the only rational patriotism, is loyalty to the nation all the time, loyalty to the government when it deserves it. And a patriot is true. When I say patriot, I'm talking about the patriot who is not patriotic, not the person who goes, yeah, America, yeah, put the flag up on the 4th of July and Memorial Day. That's a patriotic person. A patriot is engaged. A patriot understands that we have to be eternally vigilant. And this is something that we have to strive for always. That you cannot rest from protecting our liberties. Now, a patriot, by definition, in the Webster's Dictionary, is a person who loves and strongly supports or fights for his or her country. Now, the full definition is one who loves his or her country and supports its authority and interests. So, what's the authority of our country? Well, it's the Constitution. And where does that come from? Ultimately, the ultimate authority is the Creator. And that's what the Founding Fathers all said. And that's what they all acknowledged. Even the ones who weren't Christians said that these rights and this, all of this nation, this country standing up against tyranny, is our right given to us by the Creator. Very interesting. So it has nothing to do with running around wearing camouflage. This is about getting out there and voting. This is about paying attention to who's going up for election in the primaries. Because you know that this one guy over here is actually a left of center wolf in sheep's clothing, trying to tell you that he's conservative, but you know that he embraces and endorses things that go against your values and go against our Judeo-Christian heritage. So you vote and you tell other people to vote and you write your letters to your congressman. You inform others. You stay informed. You stay in the Word of God, and you know your Constitution, and you know your founding documents, and you pass that on to your children and to others who will listen. That doesn't mean you don't have another life. You still live like a normal human being, but you also pay attention to this stuff. And you get engaged in the fight for your country. That's a patriot. I was reading in my Patriot's Bible this morning, or actually yesterday, and I saw this one little section. I got these little sections that tie to our heritage. It says, the history of liberty, the Patriot's Bible, it was titled The History of Liberty. In 1912, the 28th president of the United States, Woodrow Wilson, who was also a distinguished historian and a profound student of government, stated this: the history of liberty is the history of resistance. The history of liberty is a history of the limitation of government power, not the increase of it. When we resist the concentration of power, we are resisting the powers of death. Concentration of power precedes the destruction of human liberties. Which is right in line with what Patrick Henry said when he said, guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined. Which is why the Second Amendment is so important to protect. So that when we are forced, we have the means of protecting the rest. And you know what? That's something that we need to think about, that we have to know as a reality, because there is a time for that. And even Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. Everything has its time. To everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. We've enjoyed peace for a long time. We've enjoyed many things for a long time. But the time is for you to become a patriot. This is the time. This is the season that we are in. And we are going to lose America, especially if people don't become patriots. If they don't realize the season that we're in, and that this is the time to fight for what we believe in. I'm not talking about war. I'm talking about stop indulging yourself with being entertained and start getting in this fight. Because while you are being entertained, our public school system is stealing your children's minds and their soul. And they are turning them ever so subtly against everything that you hold dear. Because you're not engaged. Make sense? Okay, makes sense to me. All right, let's see here. Before we wrap up, there's some questions I want to answer. From viewers, these are questions from viewers from the Summer of Survival Comes Up 2 video, which we'll be posting here in just a couple of weeks to amron.com and radiofreereadout.com. Okay, question. Are J-pole antennas better than an exterior car-mounted antennas for a dual-band ham handheld when not moving? Okay, so you pull the side of the road, you got your vehicle, you've got antenna choices. Okay, a J-pole antenna is normally going to be about the same equivalent amount of gain as a magnetic mount antenna placed at the center of the topmost part of your vehicle, because your vehicle is going to act as a counterpoise. So it's going to throw that signal off kind of like a J-pole would, you know, as far as gain goes. Now, generally, J-poles are a little bit better, but it also depends on whether you got a little short stubby antenna or whether you have, you know, a 5/8 wave taller antenna. That's going to give you, that's going to change the performance as well. And also, if you have one of those little tiny roll-up J-poles versus a full-size half-inch copper J-pole, because a full-size copper J-pole's got more surface area. That's going to perform better than your roll-up J-pole will. So but basically, to answer your question, they're going to be performing about the same, but there's little tiny subtle things that can kind of enhance that signal going out, depending on what it is. It's not just because it's a car antenna versus a J-pole. There's other variables. But hopefully that answers your question. What aftermarket antennas do you recommend for the UV5R? They're talking about the Baofeng radio. Okay, for just a whip antenna, I would keep the stock antenna, but stick it away as a backup. But I would replace it with, my favorite is a Nagoya screw-in whip antenna. N-A-G-O-Y-A, Nagoya. It just screws in, it's a whip, it's give you a little bit more gain, a little bit better antenna. Not a whole lot, but there is a noticeable difference. And of course, I also recommend a roll-up J-pole by Nelson Antennas. And those are available on eBay for about $25. And that will change your radio from night to day difference between a small little rubber duck whip antenna to being to really be able to get your signal out there. And it's nice and portable and small, and it's something you can stick in your kit. So the roll-up J-pole by Nelson Antennas. And but you got to string that up into a tree, you know, get it up high. It's not real convenient to walk around with. So for just walking around with it, I'd go with the Nagoya. Okay, do any of these radios require a large antenna for the roof? We live in a condominium and would not be able to install one. Great presentation. I'm ready to purchase and be prepared. Thank you so much. Okay, let's see here. Yes, some antennas do require a large antenna. It depends on whether or not you're transmitting or receiving. And it also depends on whether you're on HF or VHF or UHF. Once again, This for VHF, UHF, local communications. You can just string up a J-pole in the evening when you're going to do your nets, and then roll it back up and put it away when you're not doing your nets. So it's not something that's permanent that your neighbors are going to squawk about. And then also do an internet search for stealth antennas. There are tons of options out there, more than it's really is deserving, you know, that I can really do justice to in a, you know, quick little response. So there's my response. Do an internet search for stealth antennas, and that'll open up an entire Pandora's box. That'll just keep you busy studying and researching and snooping around until you find something that's right for your situation. Somewhere somebody has put out a YouTube tutorial on how to do exactly what you need for your situation. Guarantee it. Okay, the other part of his question is, what scanners and shortwave radios would you suggest? Well, okay, scanners, I'll tell you what. I've got a $5 scanner that I picked up from a garage sale, and I have a $50 scanner that somebody just gave me. And that is great for local coverage, but it doesn't have to be super fancy. Just get something right now. And then start researching it. There's shortwave listening. I mean, there's scanner listening websites and blogs where you can go to learn as much as you care to about scanning. Now, I also recommend an ICR5, which is made by ICOM, or an ICOM ICR6 for receiving, because it's so wide coverage. It's a wideband receiver all the way down into, you know, 150 kilohertz, all the way up to, you know, 1309 megahertz, really wide coverage, all the way down into the HF bands, although they are not single sideband capable. So all you can listen to is AM. So I would still recommend getting a shortwave radio with single sideband. You get what you pay for, but a good middle of the road shortwave radio for your long range communications would be something like a Texon 880. It runs for about $150 to $175. Okay, last one. I also bought a UV5R and cannot find anyone who can help me with it. Where can I find local people to help me? All right. Okay, first of all, Amron.com, you are the person. You are the best person that can help you. You will become proficient with that piece of equipment when you dig and you roll your sleeves up. And you get into the resources we've got posted. They're free at Amron.com. We've got user guides that are step-by-step, really easy to understand. There are YouTube videos. You become the expert that you're looking for. And that is such a simple, basic radio. But it's sophisticated enough that it will challenge a brand new person. But easily you can grow into with the resources that are available to you at your fingertips. And if you really want to find somebody that's in your community, then I recommend contacting, do an internet search and find a local ham club, get a hold of those guys and attend a couple of their meetings. They're very generous with their time and with their knowledge, and they'll be more than happy to mentor you through that process. But you should become the mentor that you're looking for, because that's going to help you become more self-reliant. All right, guys, I got to wrap this up. Voter information guides for the primaries in Washington State. It's August 5th this week, Tuesday. And then Wyoming is coming up in a couple of weeks, August 19th. So get engaged. Go to our readout voting page there at radiofreeredout.com. And get a hold of us, John Jacob at radiofreeredout.com. This wraps it up for episode 14-30. God bless you and yours and everything you set your hand to. And until we meet again, this is the voice of the American Readout. Good night.